This is the Talking Tigers Podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers Podcast.
At Williamson High School in Mobile, Loretta Freeman was a four-sport star. By the time she came to Auburn to play basketball, Freeman was down to a pair of sports. Loretta was part of a Final Four with Joe Champy's Tigers. In her senior season, she was the SEC Player of the Year and an All-American, averaging a double-double. She also finished second in the high jump at the SEC Track and Field Championships. Academics was always important to Loretta. She has a bachelor's degree and a pair of master's from Auburn, and now she's working on her doctorate. The Auburn story of Loretta Freeman Booker is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Welcome into the Talking Tigers podcast. Very glad to have a tremendous student athlete, former student athlete with us, Loretta Freeman Booker. She was Loretta Freeman as a student athlete at Auburn, and she joins us on the Talking Tigers podcast. One of the few dual sport athletes that I was able to deal with in my career, of course, really made her mark with Auburn women's basketball. And during her time as a basketball player, also was a high jumper on the track and field team as well. Loretta, welcome, and War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Very glad to have you with us today, Loretta. Where did everything start for you? Where was home for you?
Well, I was born in Mobile, Alabama. I guess basketball started when I was very young. I think I may have been second grade when I first picked up a ball, but my mom showing baby pictures of me, I've always had a ball in my hand. So yeah. Maybe before then.
Was your mom an athlete?
No, my mom was a musician. My mom and her siblings all played instruments in the band, and my grandfather was a musician. So the only choice they had growing up was which instrument they would play. So when I came along, my mom encouraged me to try different things, and I gravitated to sport. The rest, played every sport available to me.
Was music ever an interest for you, considering the family history? Yeah,
it is. I love music as well, but I like being on the field and on the courts a little bit better than I can play the piano a little bit. I just didn't have an extreme interest in music, but I love it now. It's a part of my life now. Yes.
Right. What sports did you play growing up, Loretta? Or maybe the question is, what sports did you not play growing up?
Well, I played everything. Volleyball, basketball, ran track, of course, and played softball. All the way up until middle school, I did four sports, and through high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you have an idea, though, that basketball is something that would give you the opportunity at a college education, a chance to play and play in Final Fours and just open up so many avenues for you, Loretta?
My freshman year in high school, it was the first time I realized that I had the potential to play at the next level. We won the state championship my freshman year, and I was all-state as a freshman in high school. And, I started getting letters from colleges really early. So that, I never thought about playing basketball in college. I knew I was going to college, but I didn't know basketball could be a means to my freshman year in high school.
Who all did you hear from?
Everybody. I mean, and for every sport, because, I was all state in track as well. And, competitive, our volleyball team, I was all county. And volleyball and, softball was something I did extra, I'll just say that. But I had a lot of offers, and I was also an ROTC, so I had the military backing as well. I was my senior year, I was a company commander for my unit in high school. So just a lot of options. And my high school coach was the most influential, my basketball coach, but he was also my mentor and, like a father figure to me and everything. Coach, Curtis Horton was more than just my coach. He was, he went to Tuskegee and he, talked to me a lot about playing at the next level. And I never really thought about it. I knew I was a student, but didn't know I could also be an athlete and do both.
You're a really good high jumper. at Auburn. Did you run as well, or were you strictly the high jumper and the track and field team?
I did five events. I did high jump, long jump, and triple jump. And I ran on the 4x4 relay team and the 4x8 relay team. It's funny. That's why I met Coach Rosen, Mel Rosen, my senior year in high school. I had just broken the long jump record. I had already broken the high jump record. I was still on the apron on the high jump because nobody else was in the competition. I was still jumping. And my coach asked me to run a leg. I ran third leg on the 4x8 relay. And I was exhausted because I had already broken, you know, the records and all the events I competed in. I got the baton and ran my leg. And when I finished, of course, I collapsed on the side. And Coach Rosen was standing there and he said, I heard you coming to Auburn. So that's how we met. It was kind of interesting. I met him my senior year at the state track meet. I always have that memory of him.
All right. You mentioned coming to Auburn. When did you start hearing from Auburn? And what was the deciding factor for you to continue your athletic career at Auburn?
My freshman year when we won the state championship was the first time I received a letter, you know, about camp and things like that. And, you know, so they were always on the radar. But I, like I said, I had a lot of offers. I, you know, maybe everybody in the country, and I have a lot of offers in different sports and different things, even in ROTC, because ROTC was my first choice. And then on my official visit my senior year, Ruthie Bolton was my hostess. It made an impression, but I really had a special relationship with Coach Kara Ross. And I think that was the difference. And I said, you know, she asked me, she said, well, where's Auburn? I said, they're in my top five. And she was like, well, what's going to be the difference? I said, well, you know, I'd already established a relationship with Kara Ross. So I said, if Coach Champion comes to my school, then I'll move him up a little bit because I was already interested. But when Coach Champion showed up and, you know, he made such an impression on my coach, and my coach had my family that right. I knew that was the place I was going to play next. Okay. My senior year.
What was it about your high school coach that made such an impression on you, Loretta?
Well, he was a star at Tuskegee, and he was accomplished, but he was also a scholar.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, you can't be a little bit better. You have to, you know, be a lot better. And he always pushed me to be the best I can be. And he said the coach that you know, the person that I select, I wanted to be just like him. And Coach Champy embodied those characteristics where, you know, on those days when I didn't push myself, it would be someone that was going to push me. You know, when I couldn't see my greatness, they saw something in me. And Coach Horton saw that. And Coach Champy did the same thing, just a different way. So sure. I wanted someone that was going to bring out the best in me. This, you know, despite my lack of confidence some at times, you know, and not seeing it myself. So that's what made the difference. And I had people that cared about me. And I can say this, I guess a lot of the people that were offering wasn't concerned about me as a student or as a person. They were concerned about me playing basketball. And that kind of concerned my mom because I was leaving home. I was leaving my child. You know, I was a teenage mother, so I was leaving my child. And I had to make sure I was in a place where I knew I would have that support and that encouragement to be the best, but also understand that I'm a human being and I need a family. And Auburn provided that for me, a family environment with support and structure that I needed to grow and be the best person I could become.
When you come to Auburn, I mean, you're coming into a program that's among the elites in the country. It's an SEC champion. It's a regional champion. It's Final Fours. What was that like to come into that Auburn program at that time?
Well, we went undefeated my senior year and won the state championship. And then I was all like I said, I broke records. And so I knew I was that caliber player, you know, and I you know, and I told Coach Champion when I walked to the campus, I'm going to start. That was my big thing, you know, and I didn't, but
right.
It made me earn it. True. But I knew I could play with the best because I consider myself elite and one of the best. So, you know.
One of the things that always struck me about you, Loretta, you never lacked confidence, or at least it never seemed like you lacked confidence. Is that accurate?
Well, there were times. I mean, I thank God I got a praying mom and a praying grandmother. But there were times that because, you know, I had been a starter since my freshman year and I had never sat on the bench. So Auburn was culture shock, but it also made me want it that much more because sitting on the bench those years, I struggled, you know, wondered if I was good enough at times. And there was, you know, there was thoughts of transferring or playing somewhere else. But, you know, I know that my mom didn't raise a quitter, and that pushed me as well. My mom, you know, was praying for me and saying, no, you can't quit. You can't change schools. You know, you just have to work through it. And that's just always been my thing. When there's something I have to improve upon. And I would go to coach and ask, you know, am I not strong enough? Am I need to work on this? And he would always give me something to work on every year. And looking back, I think every year I got better at, you know, because of that. And I wasn't going to stop until I became that starter and did what I needed to do to be the best that I can be. You know, the coaching staff and the people that I work with for continually pushing me to be my best and not settling. Because, you know, the thing that where my confidence lacked, I suffered an injury prior to coming. So that kind of got in the way. I'd broken my ankle playing in a pickup game right before graduation. And I came in kind of, so I had to work extra hard to, you know, rehab and get that ready before I got on campus. So that was something that was in the way. That injury caused me to struggle when I first came in. So that's where, and they were great players. I mean, Auburn had just played for a national championship, you know, my senior in high school. So I'm thinking, wow, I'm coming in. But I knew, you know, players like CJ and Chantel and Vicky was had just finished, I believe. And, you know, those players pushed me. And I had the pleasure of meeting Ruthie and, you know, on the backs of great players. So, they welcomed me with open arms and pushed me to be my best. I mean, CJ and, I have much love for CJ because, you know, she and Chantel and all of them would push me to be, you know, better, you know. And when I would stumble, they would pick me back up. Come on, you can do it, you know. Yeah. And they were that family support and that push that I needed when I got down on myself.
Where was the time for you, Loretta, in your time at Auburn, where it clicked for you, where you said, you know what, times have been tough, but I'm going to make it. I can see myself excelling here at Auburn.
The end of my sophomore year, I went and participated in the USA Basketball Summer League, and we'd won a gold medal. I played for the South team, and we'd won a gold medal for the Junior Nationals. And that, I guess, gave me, you know, I that was like a rebound moment for me because I was playing with some of the best players in the, you know, and at that time in college. So it was like they, you know, knowing I was, and won, we came back with that gold medal, I was ready. So my junior year, you know, I kind of, you know, took it on, even though I wasn't a starter all year. We kind of flip-flopped some games, but my junior year when I after that summer, I felt that I was ready.
You mentioned the word rebound, and boy, that was one of the things that you did at Auburn. Were you always a strong rebounder, even in high school?
Yes. I knew if I missed a shot that I was going to get the rebound. I didn't mind shooting. That's why Coach Champion gave me the nickname Trigger. So, but I knew if I missed that I was going to get the rebound. And if somebody else missed, I knew I was going to get it too. But at Auburn, there were no plays for me. And Coach Champion challenged me when I wasn't starting to be a finisher. So when I got on the court, I knew that I had to make an impact some kind of way. And because, you know, coming in, there were no plays for Loretta. You know, CJ, I think, was a star, and some of the offenses were going through other players. So I knew the only way that I would score is to get the rebound when it came off the rim. I guess that's something that I always felt that I could do. I was smaller, but I knew I could outquick people and get to the ball. So that became something that I just loved to do. One, you know, I love to bang and get in there, but I also knew that was my opportunity to score. You know, whenever the ball came off the rim, I was going to get it. I was doing that through high school. You know, my coach worked really hard on that aspect of the game. So, and we always controlled the boards, and that was a way to win games even in high school. So, it's always been something I enjoyed. And being able to jump is out. You know, being a jumper.
No question about that. I mean, because as you mentioned, you were not a big. You played underneath, but you are not that 6'4" big that we see now in women's basketball. You were what, 6'1", 6'2"?
6'1".
Yeah.
Yes, in basketball. Yeah,
and still playing at the post against players even then that were bigger.
I look at it as the bigger they are, the harder they fall. you know, it's, and, you know, a lot of people like to think about it, but I mean, rebounding this position is not about the size of the beast, it's the size of your heart.
Yeah.
And to be a great rebounder, I knew that I had to outthink and outquick some of the bigs. So it gave me an advantage.
All right. You go then from coming into Auburn with a bum ankle and for 2 years just trying to find minutes on the floor. Mm-hmm. You start some of your junior year. And then that sets up a truly dominant senior season for you, where you average a double-double. You have an All-American season for Auburn. What was the difference then? What was the difference in that senior season for Loretta Freeman?
Well, I think that I knew that this was my last opportunity. You know, my senior year, I said, you know what? I had already played for championships and been on championships and had the best teammates around. And, you know, I think I owed it to myself and to Auburn to see my best. You know, and it motivated me. My mom came to see me in the LSU game, and I didn't get to play a lot. I think T and I went in the last probably 2 minutes of the game, and we got a steal, and T threw the ball to me, and they put I scored the last basket, and my picture was in the paper. I was mad. I was so mad. But that I put that picture in my locker. And I said, never again. When we came in our senior year, we had a brand new team, and it was my time to lead. I was one of the tri-captains. And I said, you know, the best way to lead is by example. You know, I'm not a big talker, but when it comes down to winning, I'm pulling. So we, you know, I knew then I had to put the team on my back now, because I had the opportunity to have great players around me, Chantel, CJ, and some of the best. So now it was my turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt, you know, it was my time, and, you know, I was, you know, blessed to have great teammates that believed in the system, and we, you know, did what we had to do.
It's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. COVID and flu vaccines are an important tool to help stop the pandemic. The Alabama Department of Public Health is offering the COVID and flu vaccines to anyone 6 months and older. COVID and flu are still on the rise. Don't let COVID and flu stop you from supporting your favorite team. Continue to help protect yourself, your friends, and our campus by getting the COVID and flu vaccines. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
Let's talk about some of the players that you were surrounded by that final season there at Auburn.
You know, T-Land, we had Daniel Coleman was playing post, I believe. We had the California connection. Kristen Mulligan was a very, very young point guard, but right. she and I had a connection on the court, and she was a tough and hard-nosed kid that came in. So I, you know, we had, I want to say a lot of big names, but we had a team that worked well together, and having so many young people around me, I knew T and I knew that we had to step up, but we still had the best defense in the country too. So, you know, I think the other part came in having a guard like Kristen Mulligan and having big posts. I mean, we had, you know, Dan and
Monique Morehouse.
Monique, that's what I was trying to say. And then, you know, I mean, we had some young players on our team, and T and I were the seniors.
Right.
And Tracy, and we had to work. We had a legacy of greatness that we had to uphold, and I didn't want it to fall on our watch. We came together and we did what we had to do.
That was such an interesting season in just watching your development, because it all came together for you that year, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I played a year and all this stuff. I was like, we didn't do as well as I wanted to in the SEC tournament. And when we went to the Sweet 16, I remember my last game playing. I was so disappointed. We lost to Iowa.
At Iowa.
Yeah.
Right.
That was, and I didn't know, you know, the accolades and all that were coming, but I was just mad because we didn't win. But we gave it our best shot. You know, I think finishing in the Sweet 16 was nice, but I wanted to play. And when I made All-American, went at the awards and stuff, so Cheryl Swoops and I were communicating at that time. You know, we were good for she was upset that she couldn't go to some of the things that the activities, and I was mad because I couldn't play. I was like, I'd rather take your spot. You know,
but interesting. How interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously, when your basketball days are done at Auburn, you're an outstanding athlete at that point. I mean, you're at the peak of your career at that point. You ever think about what would have been if you're playing ball now?
Every now and again, when I stay connected to the team now and to the program, but you know, I don't have any regrets or anything. It always supposed to get better when you leave, and you're supposed to leave a legacy. So I'm grateful that, you know, we, and the women before me even, you know, set the groundwork for them to have these opportunities, because it's still not equitable. I mean, if you look at the salaries in the WNBA of the women and look at the guys, it's still not equitable. But to see the progress that Title IX and women have made in the game, it's amazing. You know, I just thank God I was able to be a part of it, because I know how it changed my life. And I you know, hope that we, you know, instilled in our young women and the ones behind us that they have a great opportunity in front of them and to take advantage of it. I'm thankful for the years I was able to play pro and see some of the things I've seen. I've been all over the world with basketball and sports. So, you know, I'm just thankful for the opportunity, because it's great to see women, you know, finally getting those types of deals and name, image, and likeness stuff that they're receiving now. It's a beautiful, beautiful progression. And to see that progress, it's just awesome.
Yeah. Loretta, talk about your time jumping for the track team at Auburn. How did that all come about for you?
Like I told you, I didn't play a whole lot. And, you know, having that extra stirred up energy inside of me, I was like, well, you know, I'm not playing. I'm really, and the funny thing, I don't think I've ever told this story, but I challenged Coach Champ because I was upset with him. And I told him, I said, well, you know, if I ain't going to play, Coach Rosen offered me a full track scholarship, so I can just do that, because I'm always going to be a student. So, and he said, you know, he did challenge me, said, you know, about being a finisher. So, and I prayed about it and talked to my mom about it and came to the decision that I'm going to do both. And whichever one, you know, because I did both in high school, so I didn't think it would be that more challenging. I've been doing it my whole life, so it shouldn't be that, but it was, because I remember flying from a basketball game and to a track meet, and it was challenging, but I did finish second in the conference. So I knew that I had a gift and was able to give to both sports equally. And Coach Champion always told me I had to put my priorities in place. And, you know, since I was on basketball scholarship. Yeah. And so I did what I had to do for the team, but it was great, because I got two families. I got, you know, to live two different lives too, because basketball was so team oriented and we did everything together, and track was so individual within the team. But it's, you know, I never saw the coaches until it was time for me to compete at the track meets. And it was like, wow, they'll give you your packet of meal money, and you know, you don't see the coach until you compete. And I was like, where's the coaches? Y'all don't eat together. It was kind of weird, because, you know, you have so much structure and discipline, but it's a different type of structure and discipline in track. You have to self-discipline more so and do a lot on your own on the track team. So it was, I miss my family, but I got to live both worlds, you know, the freedom of track and then the structure and discipline of basketball.
You then did some coaching. You talked about coaching at LaFleur. Do you miss the coaching ranks right now?
Sometimes. I'll be lying if I say I didn't. Really enjoyed the teams I was able to coach and share my knowledge with others. But I look at the kids today, it's so different. I'm a Bobby Knight, Joe Champion type of coach. So I'm not much of a coddler when it comes to the game. I like discipline, and it's so much has changed in the type of players. They are kind of spoiled and haven't earned anything. And it's a different mindset. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that I have something to give to the game, so I'll never say that I wouldn't again. But right now I found a different type of coaching. I do life coaching as a therapist, so I'm enjoying that, where I get to use all the gifts and talents I've been blessed with. I mean, I get to be a teacher, a jock sometimes, and you know, an inspiration and a person that is teaching skills, life skills every day. So everything that I've done and been a part of, I get to do in my job today. So I would never say that I wouldn't, but I think that I found my niche.
Yeah.
And I'm happy doing what I do now.
Again, bring us up to date then, because as you and I talk, you're in Los Angeles. Tell us what you're doing right now, Loretta.
I'm at the ATSA conference. It's for professional development. I'm learning how to deal with a special population, the youth sexual offenders. So just the training is to teach me new assessment items, how to motivate families and include them in treatment, and just to help the students that I work with at Mount Meigs.
How did all of that come about for you?
I just say it's a gift from God. Wow. I'm blessing them because I never, ever thought I'd be working with this population, truthfully. Currently still finishing up my dissertation on post-traumatic growth. So after getting my master's and getting another master's, I got two master's, I decided, why not start working on my PhD? And I've always wanted to know what do people like, the student athlete that broke her femurs, broke both the gymnast from Auburn that broke both femurs, and how did she overcome her trauma, her physical trauma?
Right.
Or, Chumi and some of the kids, some of us that athletes, former athletes that have been hurt. What did they tap into to overcome that and still be successful? Chumi's in the NBA now, and I remember the gymnast walking down the aisle. And even myself personally, I've been injured, but I was able to overcome it, continue to play and graduate from and the SEC's, a tough competition. So I wanted to know what they tapped into so we can help others that may have experienced trauma in life or some type of injury and transform the way that we do treatment in trauma. And when I mean trauma can be anything, but the trauma I'm working with specifically is physical injury, because most of the focus is the negative that comes from trauma, but nobody looks at the good that comes out of traumatic experiences. Nobody looks at, so my writing and study now is on, what factors do former student athletes tap into to overcome physical injury and still are successful in academia? All of us have the goal to graduate, and the injury never stops us. And for myself, I've been injured several times, but I'm able to pick myself up, get back out there and play and graduate. And I want to know what other people tapped into. So maybe we can help young people, old people, people in general that have experienced trauma in life, and get by transforming the way, not focusing on post-traumatic depression or, things like that, the negative aspects of trauma.
You have a bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. You have two masters. Mm-hmm. You're working on a PhD. Where does that side of Loretta Freeman, where does that come from?
I've always been a student first. Yeah. My mom and my grandmother and a few of my aunts, all of them, I've always pushed education being a means, and being a student first. So, and being a student keeps me young. keeps me abreast of all the current trends. The technology's changed, the way we do things has changed. So continuing to grow, being a lifelong learner, has always kept me growing. My favorite color is green, and my coach told me in high school even, he says, as long as you stay green, meaning open to learning new things and open to the current, changes and things, you're going to grow. And then he also said, what happens when you get ripe, you start to rotten. So I said, I never want to rotten. I want to continually stay green and learn new things and continually grow. Don't ever get to a place where I know it all. There's always room for improvement in Loretta. So, I want to always give my best at whatever I do. So Auburn has always been my second home anyway. So having the opportunity to come back and get more education and learn more new things and grow, it has been great. And I'm still here.
Loretta, bring us up to date on your family, if you would, please.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm currently married to Eric Booker, and I have my two girls, Sydney and Jamie. Jamie's married. No grandkids yet. Sydney's a sophomore at Park Crossing. She's driving now, so we're having a good time. And I know they're missing me now. Because she was like, you're not taking me with you. And I was pregnant with her, with Sid, my baby, when I was my first year at St. Paul's. So she grew up with the team. So she's pretty much born on the sideline because I was pregnant and coaching with her and my belly. And she was like she traveled with the team and she was with me, you know, those first years at St. Paul's. And before I came back to moved back to Auburn, she's always been with me, my baby. And I guess both of them are a gym rats because they both pretty much grew up in the court.
Did you ever have a chance to coach against your high school coach?
No, I didn't. But he's always been supportive of my, he's retired, but he's always been supportive of me and my coaching. In fact, when I took the job at St. Paul's, I got to see him on a regular. You know, I got to play against my old high school though. Yeah, and we split even, and I got to play against some of the former players that I played with in AAU. Carla Berry, she's the head coach at McGill, and we had a rivalry thing going. And I will say I got a chance to get her, but she got me my last year. Yeah, she beat us my last year coaching at St. Paul. She's
all right. You've come out of the Mobile area in an era of great athletes. And not just in basketball, but baseball and certainly football. I mean, Mobile was a pipeline to Auburn and Alabama both. What did it mean to be part of that era of that Mobile high school athlete?
Well, I never really thought about it, to be honest. I mean, it doesn't really put any pressure on you if you love it. You know, I never looked at it as work. It just is something that I've enjoyed. You know, athletics has always been something I've enjoyed. So I really didn't feel any pressure from being, you know, from Mobile. I just think we need to represent. I know being a female in that class of athletes and stuff was kind of, you know, it was an honor. Mm-hmm. And I just look at it as an honor to be in that class of student athletes that have come from that area.
All right, final question for you, Loretta. You are one of many that have been on this podcast before that came to Auburn to play fill-in-the-blank sport, left, and now have come back to Auburn. Boy, there's a lot of you that have done that. Right. For you, what has Auburn meant for Loretta Freeman Booker?
It's home. It's like, you know, like we say, there's no place like home. There's no place like Auburn. A lot of my life has been spent with the Auburn family, if you will. And it's like returning to a place of familiarity, but also to give back. You know, I have the opportunity now to give back to the young generation, that's the girls that follow me. So it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come back, you know, and to have the door always open. I love Coach Jay and, you know, her interactions with us, the alumni, and what she's doing in the program. You know, it's a pleasure it's a pleasure to come back and see the growth. And it's an honor to be able to give back to a place that's given me so much.
Loretta, proud of what you've done with your career, what you've done with your life. I'm glad you're back at Auburn. It's good to be able to see you from time to time. It was a pleasure to call your career at Auburn. And I certainly appreciate you telling your Auburn story today. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
For Loretta Freeman Booker and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.